So you're busy with a series driven by eternity. This is number 6, and I'm naming it The Return of the King, and it's really about God's presence. That's what God is doing in our hearts at this time. He's stirring a hunger and a thirst in us for his presence. So the second coming of Christ, that is the final return of our King. Daniel 7, verse 13 to 14, just quickly want to read that to you. It says, this is a prophecy of what is to come. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. You must see that, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. So there's a prophecy saying that one day in the future, Jesus will come upon the clouds of heaven. And so every now and again, I peer into the distance, and I see God coming. So in my mind, I'm just imagining it. Jesus coming on the clouds of heaven in all of his glory, and all the armies of heaven with him. So I want to quickly ask you, close your eyes, and just see the horizon, the sun just rising, and then just this return of the King. The return of our God in glory to establish his reign and rule on the earth. Just imagine it. Imagine the return of the King of Kings. A glorious sight to every believer, a terrifying sight for those who do not believe. But the Bible says he is coming. He's returning in all of his majesty. Amen. You can open your eyes again. But we need to be anchored in eternity. We need to be anchored in what is coming. Then we don't get distracted so much with our challenges of here and now. Last week I shared Daniel chapter 7, verse 21 to 22. It says, I was watching and the same horn was making war against the saints. So there's a war against the saints. And then it says, and it was prevailing against them. Evil was prevailing. Wow, I love this. I just get goosebumps. Until the Ancient of Days came. You will live a powerless Christian life. And the enemy will prevail over you until the Ancient of Days come in your life. That speaks of Jesus' second or first coming on the cross. But I believe it also speaks of when God's presence comes into our lives, then there's change. I must say, this last month, I've not experienced God's presence as consistently and as often as I have this past month. I hope you do too. But even in my quiet times, I'm just sitting and then the presence of God is just there. And it's alive. It's so stirring. And I'm so excited what God is doing. But it says, until the Ancient of Days came. Can you say that? Until the Ancient of Days came. And a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. There's a time that has come for the saints to possess the kingdom, but it is ushered in by his presence in our lives. And so often we say, you know, I asked this question on Tuesday with a prospective seminar, what is the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Anybody? Kobe says fruit. I agree. Fruit, yes. Often people say it's tongues. If you speak in tongues, then you are filled with the Spirit. One guy says, no, if you're filled with the Spirit when you're filled with the Spirit. Meaning if you have a cup and you fill it with something, there must be an overflow. There must be an overflow of life. There must be an overflow of God's power. There must be fruit. And I believe many of us have said we're filled with the Spirit, but we're not because we're not living in the power of the Spirit. And so God is calling us forward. He's calling us deeper into him, saying there is so much more. that I have in store for you. And I believe God is saying that to me in Acts 2, verse 16 to 18, probably the most significant moment in the history of the world except for the cross, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my Spirit, my essence, my life. I will pour it out on people. The whosoever calls upon me, I will pour out my Spirit on them. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit. And I believe we have settled for something that is not the fullness of God. He's called us to so much more of Him that when we pray for the sick, they truly are healed. Not every now and again. That when we walk through life, we hear the voice of God and we can speak His word, which will transform people's lives. Prophecy, visions, we will see God. God has destined that for each and every one of us. And when those words, when we speak those prophetic words or those words of prophecy, it will be life-changing words. It won't be the words of man. It will be the words of God in the mouth of a man or a woman, and it will bring change. Because when God said, let there be light, there was light. So if He says, through a man in the name of Jesus, be set free, then you must be set free. And so I want to take you to a scripture in the Old Testament, just a quick story of Jacob. And he had sort of this experience. He saw a vision and a dream. He heard the voice of God. And he declared, the Lord is in this place. Genesis chapter 28, verses 16 to 17. He went to sleep and then he experienced all of these things. And then his response was this. This is beautiful. This is, I believe, a word for us, a promise for us from God. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. And I think that's so often an experience for people. They didn't know until God suddenly appears. They said, you were here. So the Lord is in this place. I did not know it. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Yo, I like that. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. This place, which is called Bethel. Jacob called the place Bethel, the house of God. This place, this is a special place. This is a place where it's truly the house of God. And it's truly the gate of heaven. I believe that's a promise for us as a church. To truly be the house of God. Not just a group of people coming to listen to a nice sermon and sing songs. But the house of God. The place where God resides. The place where God lives. The house of God. The gates of heaven. What does it mean, the gates of heaven? Some people call it thin places. Thin places. The distance between heaven and earth becomes very thin. It's like you can put your hand through and you sort of stepping into heaven. A thin place. I heard the story from a pastor. He says his brother was very far from the Lord. And he was living on the other side of America. He was living on the, I think, on the east, and the other one's on the west. And he says one day, and then God was moving in the church. He was doing amazing things. And then suddenly one day, his brother phoned and said, I'm coming to visit you. And he was amazed. Why are you coming to visit us? He got onto the plane and he flew all the way to where his brother was, the pastor. And he picked him up at the airport. And as they're driving by, they drive past the church building, big church building. And so the brother says, I want to go see your church building. I want to see it. And he's like, that's weird because this guy never wants anything to do with Christianity. And anyway, so they go to the building, pastor unlocks the front door, and he says, as his brother steps through the front door, he falls to his knees and repents of all his sins and becomes a Christian. It's like he stepped into a thin place. He stepped into the presence of God. He stepped into a place that has been prepared by the praises of God. I believe that's what God wants to do for us. What is the house of God? Two things. The house of God is a place where God resides. And secondly, the house of God is a place where God speaks. Where God speaks. And I believe that's what God wants to do for us. God chooses certain places. Now let's look at just the verses before that. Genesis 28, verse 12 to 15. I want to highlight just three different types of ways that God speaks. Just want to mention them. And then we're going to pray. It says there, and he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. You must see this. God, as he was dreaming, and he saw a ladder set up in that place. And he says, behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. You see, if you read through the Bible, whenever God moves, whenever God's presence is there, you will find angels as well. So if Nas or whoever gets words about God wanting to send his angels, that means he's sending his presence. He's sending his presence, and the angels will follow. And then verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it. He stood above this ladder and said. You see, there's he spoke. He's there, and he spoke. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, the father, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. You see, where the presence of God is, God's word will be. His living word. We're not just talking about a nice scripture. I'm talking about his now word, his living word. And so in this case, he gives a promise. That's one of the ways God speaks through prophecy. It's a promise for Jacob overcoming his challenges. Do you have a promise for your challenges? I'm sure we all are facing some challenge or another. Do you have a word yet? Do you have a promise yet? Are you facing that in your own ability, your own strength? Or have you taken it to God and said, God, I have this challenge. Please give me your promise. Give me your word for this challenge. That's what God wants to do. For instance, end of last year when we did the Whale of a Tale, and now again, I received this word of God is setting before us an open door, a door that no man can shut. And I'm holding on to that because we can be so focused on this crisis or that challenge. And it says no man can shut that door. Only God can shut that door. So if God has opened it, that's for me a personal promise. He's opened the door. He has opened it. No man can shut it. No enemy, no evil, nothing can shut that door. That's my promise. And that word was confirmed again a few weeks ago. Somebody sent me that word confirmation again. So that really spoke to me. And so God spoke to me this past few weeks and he said, this is a holy work. Because I was like worried about some issues and this person criticizing or whatever. And then the Lord spoke to me. He told me this is a holy work. This is his work. And he will deal with those who come against his work. Bible says, bless those who curse you. So we bless, we love our enemies. We have no vendetta or vengeance against anybody. But God has a tendency to fight for his children. And God has a tendency to fight for his servants. Do you realize that you are an ambassador for the King of Kings? If you're a believer and you're following Christ, you are an ambassador for the King of Kings. So if you are sent out to another nation like all of us have, from heaven being the home country, if you've been sent out, the ambassador, and a nation messes with the ambassador, somebody messes with the ambassador of Christ, all of the forces of that nation backing that ambassador will back him up. I want to encourage you, you can be confident when you are seeking first the kingdom of God, when you're putting Jesus first, all of his power, all of his forces will back you up when you are following him. Okay, so I want to encourage you in terms of that. So the first way God gives us a promise, ask him for a promise. Secondly, your offspring, verse 14 of that chapter 28. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So in a sense, it's a word of destiny. God is speaking a word of destiny over Jacob, saying, this is the impact. This is where I'm going to take you. I remember I shared this at the Perspective Seminar as well, but when I was a second-year student, I was clueless. I was nowhere. I have no idea what God had planned for my life. And there was a pastor from the Ukraine coming to minister in our church in Cape Town. And he couldn't preach most of the time. He just wept because of his amazing love of God in this man's life. And afterwards, I went to him, and he was praying for some people, and he prayed for me. I'll never forget the words he spoke. He spoke this over my life. It's a promise I'm holding on to about my destiny. And he said that there will come a time in your life where God will do amazing things in me and through me. And then people will come, and they will come and listen. They will come and see what's happening. And they're going to look at you, and they're going to say, but he's so ordinary. How is this possible? He's so ordinary. I love that. And he spoke about the love of God being tangible through my life. That's a promise I'm holding on to. But I love that because God's going to get the glory. I'm going to be ordinary, but he's going to do great and mighty things. That's a word of destiny. And you need to hold on to that. And then the last one, verse 15, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That's beautiful. A word of encouragement. I don't think there's anything that encourages us as much as when God says, I'm with you. Don't worry. I know there are challenges. I'm with you. Ah, that's comforting. That is so comforting. It's like when we started, when Sonic and I came here 3 years ago, it's a challenge to start a church, I tell you. Yay. And so we had this one service. I think there was 10 or 12 people in the service. I was really worried. Very, very worried. I've never planted a church before. God, is this going to work? Am I nuts? Am I deceived? And the Lord just spoke to my heart, prepare for growth. So I went to buy chairs, and I bought sound equipment. And people are like, for 12 people, are you crazy? No, I have a word. God has spoken. And I listened to him. Not to when the people in the church tell me, this church is not going to grow. The 12 of us, not going to grow. God's word stands. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to? Are you listening to the words of man? Are you listening to your mama? The Americans would say, your mama. Now, in general, your mom does not build up your faith. In general. Yeah, oh, booty. Oh, sinky. So cute. But who are you listening to? You need to listen to God if you want to make a difference in this world, if you want to make an impact on this life. So that's three things of prophecy: a promise, destiny, and encouragement. And wherever the presence of God is, there his word will be. And so we're trusting, and I'm praying and saying, God, we want more of your presence so that your word can manifest, so you can speak and you can transform our lives. Okay, let's stand. Thank you. The Bible says we need to seek, we need to pursue the gifts of prophecy, especially. Love and seek the gifts. Because it will define you and will set you on a path of destiny. Father, we thank you that this is the house of God. This is a place you have chosen. We haven't earned it. We haven't deserved it. We can never earn it. We can never deserve it. But we hunger for your presence. We hunger for your manifest presence. And we hunger for your word to be spoken into our lives. This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. We prophesy it, Lord. We proclaim it over our lives, that God would reside here. Let's just close our eyes. I just want to ask, if there's anybody here that you've never received a promise from God, nobody's ever prayed for you and given you a word of prophecy, would you just raise your hand? Anybody? Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? I'm asking because if you haven't, I feel God wants to give you a word this morning. Okay, thanks. Then I want to ask, you're going through a big challenge, but you don't have a promise for that challenge. Please raise your hand. God, we worship your name. Can I ask if you raise your hand that you can, there's about 15 people. Just come and stand here. We're going to pray for you. And then if I can have facilitators, small group facilitators and interns to come and stand here with them. And we're going to pray and trust for a word of encouragement. A promise. That can come join us here to pray with people. Just come and stand here. Don't pray for them yet. God, we thank you for your presence here, Lord. I just feel there's somebody here really battling with your identity / destiny, really struggling to find yourself. Just as we just close our eyes quickly again, if that is you battling with your identity / destiny, would you just raise your hand? Okay, and then we want to pray with you as well. Just come and join us here in the front as well. And then I pray with her as well. Hallelujah. Okay. Could we quickly go to HD? All of us. It's a sign of surrender to the living God. And we just want to prepare our vessels that it will be God's word being spoken here this morning. As we're going to pray for people. And I just want all of us, we're trusting in the small groups for freedom of the gifts of the Spirit, that God's presence would live there and His Word will live there. So just pray the following. Say, Father God, thank you that you qualify me for your Spirit. I can never earn it, but I can receive. And so right now, Lord, I receive the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I welcome your presence. into my life. And I pray, Lord, you'll touch my heart and touch my mouth and my mind and speak through me your words of prophecy. Come and fill me and overflow through me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. The band's going to be playing. We're going to be praying over these people. And we really feel that if there's somebody that's not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you can go stand there right on the left, and then we're going to be praying with you and trusting that God will fill you with His Spirit and even give you utterance of praying in the Spirit. Okay. But you're welcome to just maybe just worship a little bit if you want to. Otherwise, there's coffee and things. Thanks for coming. Okay, guys, let's get some oil here. Just take a little bit of oil, people, and you anoint, and you just pray. Soon.